Greetings, brethren. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles 2016. And as we say every year, time marches on. So here we are with the Feast of Tabernacles. And as you look at the world today and see how absolutely evil that it is and all of the terrible things going on, remember this, the people of God who will be in the first resurrection are the solution to the problems of this world. And it is evident from everything that goes on that the first and foremost characteristic that is necessary is righteous character to have the right kind of government and oversight. Now, let's begin right here in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. This is a very important section for us to understand, because as you look around us, other than those who have died in the faith, you may have friends, you may have relatives, you may have even those in your own family who have turned their backs on God. Now, while there is life, there's still hope. They can repent. And we hope that they do. We hope that they come back. But here's the thing that's important for us to understand, for what we need to realize with this season of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is this. Right here in 2 Timothy 4, and let's begin in verse 1. When we come to the Feast of Tabernacles and when we come together, there are many, many things that are blessings and helpful and good and right and help us to understand the way and plan of God and to love each other more. But here's an important part of the Feast of Tabernacles. We are to bring the spiritual food from the inspired Word of God, as Paul says, in season. Now let's back up here just a couple of verses into chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for conviction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And this is why we are called. Now, most people today, especially the Christianity of this world, pick and choose which scriptures they want so they can do the most destructive thing of all. Take the truth of God, inspired by God, given to us to learn and understand His way, and to change the meaning of things through exclusion of scriptures and twisting of interpretation. It says every word, okay? All. All means each and every one. Now, chapter 4 and verse 1, and this is an important thing for us who are doing the teaching and preaching, that we serve the brethren, we educate the brethren, we grow in grace and knowledge, we draw close to God, we draw close to each other. And that's only possible with the Spirit of God and the truth of God. So here's a charge that Paul gave to Timothy, and this was just before he was martyred. Verse 1, chapter 4. I charge you, therefore, in the sight of God. Now, you can't get any greater authority than that. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And that's what this Feast of Tabernacles pictures. It pictures the rule of God, the kingdom of God, the reign of the saints, all of those in the first resurrection, as we have covered, going down through the plan of God leading up to this time of the Feast of Tabernacles. So he says, verse 2, preach the word. Now the word here means all of the words of God. It means the teachings of Jesus Christ, the teachings of the apostles, the teachings of the prophets, the teachings of the law, the teachings of the Psalms, in our personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Preach the word. Now here's a scripture which shows that they kept the feasts of God. Be urgent in season and out of season. That means all year long. Always be current, always be up to date, always be preaching God's way at the time God has said that it is to be. Convict, rebuke, and encourage with all patience and doctrine. Now, verse 3, we have seen this. Now, when you first come into the church, you have no idea that something like this could happen. Because when we're first called into the church, everything is new and right and good and so forth. And, oh, how could we have missed that in the Bible, etc.? Especially if you were a Protestant or a Catholic. Notice what he says here. For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, as we have seen in the report of the Presbyterians and the Muslims having prayer services together in a Presbyterian church. Think on that one for a minute. So how do all of these things come about? And listen, brethren, when we're in the kingdom of God and we have authority over this world to rule and reign with Christ, none of this is going to happen, okay? But look at it. How does this come about? But according to their own lust, they shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings. And they will turn away their own ears from the truth, and they shall be turned aside unto myths. Truth of God is what? The word of God, the commandments of God, the Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, last great day. The myths: Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Sunday, all of those things. Now, when people turn away and leave those, then they give themselves over to the god of this world, Satan the devil. And they harden their hearts by turning away and not listening, and they shall be turned aside unto myths. But as for you, be vigilant. That's what it has to be with us. In all things, endure hardships. And yes, we're going to have hardships coming up here. A lot of us are living through them right now. Do the work of an evangelist. Fully carry out your ministry. Now he says, I'm ready to be offered, and I'm waiting for the crown, and you've got to take over. And so that's what it was with Paul and Timothy at this point. So let's go back and let's see that the whole plan of God is centered around one phrase: to dwell with God, to dwell with his people. Now, with the creation of Adam and Eve, they lived in the Garden of Eden with God. Now, how long they were there with him, we don't know. We're not told. But we see the same thing that we read of in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, happen with Adam and Eve, even though they were in the presence of God and spoke with him on a daily basis. That's why Satan had to come to test them, because the plan of God is so great. God, having given us independent free moral agency, IFMA, God wants to know what we will choose, how we will choose, because that is the only way that we can develop the character of God necessary to receive eternal life, live forever, and rule the world. And as we will see by the end of the feast, enter into New Jerusalem. But the whole thing has been to dwell with God. Now, when God dwelt with the patriarchs, he was with them. He didn't necessarily was living with them. But he saw them all the time, taught them directly. They understood his word. Look at the relationship that God had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how that was such a tremendous thing. And we, everything about us goes clear back to Abraham. We are the spiritual seed of Abraham. We are the children of God through that plan and process that God has given. Now let's come to Exodus 25. Exodus 25. Now when God called Israel out of Egypt and brought them to himself at Mount Sinai, and of course there are parallels with that, with our calling out of this world, which is called Sodom and Egypt, the goal was that God would dwell with his people. So let's see that. Exodus 25. Now in this chapter is where God began to give them the instructions to make the tabernacle, to make the sanctuary, to make everything with it. And all the details there are very interesting. Now if you haven't seen the Tabernacle of God, based on the book by Moshe Levine that I did showing the depiction of the tabernacle and of the Ark of the Covenant and all of the implements and the dressing of the priest and the Levites. Now here, this shows that God wants our participation with it. Verse 1, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. You shall take the offering from every man that gives it willingly with his heart." And that's what God wants with all of us, our hearts, that our hearts are right with God and with his spirit. And then he says, this is the offering, verses 3 and verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. Then let's come to verse 8. This is very important verse here, verse 8. Verse 8. "And let them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them." God wants to dwell with his people. Well, after he gave all the instructions and everything, let's come here to chapter 29, and we will see that he summed it up with what he began with. Exodus 29, and let's pick it up here in verse 42. Verse 42. "And this is the burnt offering forever throughout the generations, your generations, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there to you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel," right there at the door of the entrance of the tabernacle, summing up the whole reason of everything for the tabernacle. "I will also sanctify both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God." Now think of that. You go back and think what happened with Adam and Eve. They rejected God. And the whole world has suffered because of it. God was dwelling with them. So here, now we come to Israel, and God says that I may dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, so that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." Well, you know the whole story that went because of that. You know the whole history of it. That's the whole Old Testament, okay? Now, let's come and look at some other scriptures which are important, which show us concerning the feast. Let's come here to Isaiah 68. Isaiah 68. No, there is no Isaiah 68. That's Psalm. Not ISA, but PSA, Psalm 68. Got to get it right. That's what we read, rightly divide the word of truth, correct? Okay. Psalm 68. Let's pick it up here in verse 18. Okay? Verse 18. You have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive. Now this is a prophecy of Christ. You have received gifts among men, yet among the rebellious also, that you might dwell among them, O Lord God. This is what God wants. And that's the ultimate of the plan of God. And just as we began in Genesis 1, when we get to Revelation 21 and 22, what is the theme of that? Dwelling with God. Verse 19, blessed is the Lord. He daily bears our burdens, the God of our salvation. Now drop down here to verse 32. Verse 32. Now verse 32, and this is a prophecy of when the kingdom of God will be ruling on the earth. Sing unto God, you kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. That means stop and think and meditate on this. To him who rides upon the heaven of heavens, which are of old. Lo, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe power to God. His majesty is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are awesome from your holy sanctuary. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God. That's the message of the Feast of Tabernacles right there. Quite an amazing thing. Now let's come to Isaiah. Here we are, Isaiah this time. Let's come to Isaiah, the 51st chapter. And you know, when you really understand the Bible and put it all together, it's all one complete unit describing here a little, there a little, here some more, there some more, from the law, from the prophets, from the Psalms, from the writings, from the Gospels, from the epistles, and from Revelation. All about the plan of God. Wonderful thing indeed, isn't it? All right, Isaiah 51. Now here's also a prophecy for us because we are the seed of Abraham. Verse 1, hearken to me, that is, listen carefully to God. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit like where we began? Be diligent, preach the word, because the time will come they won't listen. So it is. Hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were cut. And that rock is what? Christ. And to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. Because we're called after Isaac, right? Isn't that true? For I called him alone and blessed him and made him many. And that's what we are now. Many. And think what it's going to be at the resurrection. And I can't help but think and just wonder in my mind, what is Abraham going to say to God when Abraham shows him all the spiritual children through him and then shows him all the other descendants who are still on the earth while we're on the sea of glass up there looking down? What is he going to say? Remember what God promised Abraham. Your seed shall be like the stars of the heaven and like the sand which is on the seashores. There he will see it all. Amazing. Now here's going to be our job. Here's what we're going to do during the millennium. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found in it, thanksgiving and the melody, the voice of melody. Isn't that something? What a thing that is. It even says the trees are going to sing. That's an amazing thing. Okay. Verse 4. Hearken to me, my people. We are the people of God, brethren. Listen to God. Listen to his word. Drink in of the things that we will have here at the Feast of Tabernacles, with the fellowship with one another, the fellowship with God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, all of that together. And give ear to me, O my nation, for we are a holy nation of priests. For instruction shall proceed from me, and I will make my justice as a light to the people. My salvation is near. My righteousness is near. My salvation has gone out. My arms shall judge the people, and the isles shall wait upon me. And on my arm they shall trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall become like an old garment, and its inhabitants shall die in the same way. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Amazing, isn't it? That's what we're going to be a part of. Now, we look at this world today, and it is in a mess. God is going to give us the authority, the strength, the ability to rule and reign with Christ and fulfill these verses right here that I just read. Now, come over here to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Some people will wonder, well, will I make it? Of course you will. Well, I don't have much. I'm old, I'm weak, whatever. Listen, it is the Spirit that gives life. And this old flesh is going to get weak and old for every one of us, is it not? Yes, indeed. Has that not been happening right on down through time? Yes. And it will continue until the return of Jesus Christ. So the important thing is that we develop the righteousness of God. We develop the character of God. We learn how to make righteous judgment. We learn how to live by the truth. We learn from everything that God has given so that we can fulfill Psalm 15. Now, it's very interesting, isn't it? Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So you read all about that. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none who does good. And that's why God has called us to take over the world. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understand, who seek after God. Isn't that amazing? That's what God is doing right now. And we will see that the opposite of the atheist is the one who enters into the kingdom of God. Let's go on. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not even one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Those who devour my people as men eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? Yes, we're going to suffer persecution. Yes, we're going to have those after us. That's promised. Look what happened to Christ. And if, like he said, if they call the master Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to call you, and what do you think they're going to do to you? And this is why he said, don't fear those who can only take the life, kill your body, but they can't take your life from you, because that belongs to God. So we don't worry about it. There they are in great fear, for the Lord is with the generation of the righteous. You have put to shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord turns away the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. That's the mission of our work in the millennium, right there in that one. Now, let's read Psalm 15. Atheist, in verse 14. The true believers, in verse 15, dwelling with God. Verse 1. Who shall dwell in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell upon your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. Not double-minded, not doubled heart, but single heart, single purpose. Speaks the truth in his heart. And what is the truth? The word of God. Isn't that what Jesus said? Your word is the truth. Sanctify them in your truth. That's how you are made holy. That's why this is the Holy Bible. That's why these are the holy, righteous, and spiritual words of God. Okay? Interesting indeed. All right? Now, let's come to 1 John, the 4th chapter. And let's see that at this time, as we know, having the Spirit of God, God dwells in us spiritually. And that becomes the focal point of conversion, of conviction, of truth, of everything that we are to do. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Let's pick it up here in verse 4, because this tells us another very important aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, the first part of 1 John tells us that our fellowship is with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and then with each other. Now, at the Feast of Tabernacles, we're going to have an opportunity to fellowship with each other, to love each other, to love God, to learn of his way, to look forward to the completion of God's plan, so that during this time, during this 8 days, the Feast of Tabernacles and the last day, we will be strengthened spiritually, mentally, physically, and after that's over, we have to head back out in the world again, and wow, what a world it is going to be. So let's be encouraged with this. Let's keep our minds on this. Verse 4. You are of God, little children. Now that's what we are, the children of God, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. And we overcome the evil in the world. We overcome our own human nature. We overcome Satan, the devil, and the demons. And we are victorious through Christ. Now notice verse 5. They, that is the ones in the world, are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world, and the world listens to them. Whereas, as we'll see here, we listen to God. We listen to Jesus Christ. We listen to his word. We believe it. We love it. We live by it. Now also, on the other hand, we test false prophets, don't we? Do they speak the word of God as God wants it spoken? Or do they follow the deceptiveness of Satan, the devil? All right, verse 6. We are of God. There it is again. You are of God, verse 4. We are of God, verse 6. The one who knows God listens to us. Why? Because if anyone knows God, they know the truth, they know the Bible, they will hear the truth, they will live by it, they will follow it. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. I've had a man that I've communicated with this summer who sent me an email that since he was converted 9 years ago, he hasn't sinned. Because they take the verses which say, this is the first commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul and all your being. And the second one is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so therefore, with this mindset, they go out and try and make everything that they do in the world the will of God. He could not even be moved from his positions, knowing that Sunday is pagan, that Christmas, that Easter, that the Lord's Supper, that all of those things are not of God. He won't listen. Well, his day is going to come. Wonder what's going to happen on that day. Aha! All right. They are of the world. Because of this, they speak of the world. And that is the world's false Christianity. And the world listens to them. We are of God. And the one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not of God does not listen to us. By this means, we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of deception. We have the perception and knowledge and truth and understanding from the Word of God to know right from wrong, good from evil, truth from error and deception. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now let's come down to verse 11 after explaining about the love of God and sending Christ to die for our sins and how much love that involved toward us. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also are duty-bound to love one another. And this, at the Feast of Tabernacles, is a great time for fellowship and loving one another. So during this feast, spend time together, love one another, help one another, enjoy each other, make this a great and a wonderful feast, the Feast of Tabernacles 2016. We'll see you tomorrow. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.